try and go through with us tonight. So I was thinking that, oh, well, let's first start with the minutes.
I got a motion to approve minutes.
I'll make that motion.
And second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Well, we'll start, we'll take the resolution out of order. That's okay with the rest of the committee to begin with. Resolution 17, and that's the confirmation of the reappointment. Commissioner Cosey, because he's here with us tonight, so if you'd like the floor, it's yours.
Okay, I guess I would just want the committee to be aware of the fact that we're extremely excited when I learned about the county executive's decision to reappoint you. And the Department of Social Services in 1993, and the county, as you know, that I was hired there as a staff attorney, and then became a supervising attorney, and then became commissioner in 2012. Spent my professional career there. I enjoy the work that we do. I think it's rewarding. I believe that we're a very important part of the county government structure, and that the services that we provide are essential to a lot of the most vulnerable people in our community. And I think that we've demonstrated that we also emphasize accuracy and efficiency. We've had an excellent track record with regards to audits that are done of our programs, both by our county comptroller and by state and federal agencies. I know that I'm extremely proud of our staff, from all of our social welfare examiners and caseworkers, the supervisors and directors. We put a high premium on serving our clientele and being responsive to inquiries for all of our programs. I think we also value having a real strong partnership with our service providers and entities in the community and other government agencies. So I'm really proud of the work that we do. And really committed, to going forward in the position that I've been in, and really enjoy my work.
Sure. Anybody have any questions? Listen, I've heard good things, since you've been here. Years off, so it's been easily accessible for myself and for others. If I ever have any questions, you gotta get right back to me. Whether it's committee related or county related or even on a personal level. So, I'd be more than happy to move this. And call for vote.
I got one comment before. Mike, I just want to, remind you that I was the only person to vote against your appointment, 5 years ago? And you never held that against me, and I do appreciate that.
You don't know, I don't remember.
I don't want to say the word, I'll say upset with the county executives. I did it more as a protest vote, and, it was so long ago I didn't forget what it was, and it was, something irrelevant probably in today's world, but, I do appreciate your kindness over the years.
I'll share a memory. We had the coincidence of riding the elevator down.
That same night, thank you. I think Rich Charity was with us.
I want to say that, you indicated to me that it was absolutely nothing personal.
Yeah.
And I responded that I look forward to the opportunity to change your mind.
You've done a great job.
We had the chance to do that.
Another note, too, with the expanding, we don't always get to talk to you, and you don't always get to come in front of us, and a lot of times you send Ken down, he's kind of the establishment kind of guy. With the exploding safety nets and stuff, is there any, you read about it in other states, any testing that we could do on new applicants, old applicants, if they have, if they're not actively looking for work, or if they can be drug tested, alcohol tested, or anything like that?
Yeah, let me respond to that. Drug and alcohol testing are not permissible, but we do drug and alcohol screenings with all of our applicants for public assistance programs, and if they do demonstrate that they reveal that they have a problem, we do refer them to treatment. So that's been a backbone
of our public eligibility process, and then as far as ensuring that they're getting support and assistance to seek employment, that's also mandated, and we constantly are administering programs to guarantee that they're out looking for work, that we're supporting them to fill any deficits that they might have. I mean, the reality is that a lot of the safety net individuals present having been disenfranchised from the system. They've been failed by a lot of other systems of any needs, whether it's educational, employment, mental health, and sometimes they didn't have a family safety net. So by the time they arrive at our doorstep, we usually have more than one just issue that we're trying to assist them with, but we are working aggressively only to get them back on track.
What is the success rate when people go on and then come off?
We've experienced over the past year that the safety net recipients that are quoted employable, we've probably been able to arrive at about a 10% success rate of getting them employable. A lot of them go off because they're not able to meet the ongoing eligibility criteria. And when they go off of the system, they're somewhat nomadic, to be honest with you. When I leave, we did a study a few years ago that one of the legislators requested just to see how many new people were coming into the county, and we found that it was pretty much a wash, just about as many new cases as we were opening, but we're closing almost the same amount of cases.
One last question, I'll let you go, we'll take the vote unless anybody else has a question. Is that 10% in line with the state average?
I'm not really sure, but I can get back to you on that.
Thank you.
Just follow up. Kevin had asked, regarding the drug testing, are the ones that are already being screened, is that because they had, it was like a prerequisite for somebody who had a history of drug issues in the past, or
and
is that?
We do a screening, and if an individual who's applying to any of our public assistance programs presents with a substance abuse problem, we refer them to treatment. And that becomes a requirement.
And they seek their benefits.
The goal here is to bring people to self-sufficiency,
sure.
Perpetuate them on the welfare system.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? No? All right. Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, yeah, it's up to you if you want to stick around. All right, I'll be a little new on then.
Craig, do you want to skip over to the 38?
Yeah, you know, let's bounce around a little bit here that way. I know Chris is
having a good time at night back here.
That way he's brought back. Yeah, it is my old book. But yeah, let's talk about the things, and then that way we'll wait for him to get it.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to point out to you that I was also at Nice Accident.
You are.
I got the time to get there.
Darn.
Okay. Right. Rarely do the chairmen wait for me to come to the committee meeting. They always start without me.
Put a star next to your name, Carl.
Just a point of reference.
Yep, duly noted. Actually, so was yeah. 16 is amending the 2017 budget to annualize increased funding for 0.2% cost of living adjustment, a little over $12,000.
A little bit.
Yeah. That's in line with.
I know.
A second. Discussion on that.
What's the living?
How's it working?
Exactly. All right, we'll hear them then. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Resolution 38. It's approving the execution of a contract with the Technology Gateway Community Industries in the amount of $1,340. This is for the food stamp employee training program that you transitioned people who have been receiving assistance into the workplace. This is an ongoing. Yeah, for right now we had approved for as long as I've been here. So, any for discussion?
A little bit.
Second. Okay. I just had a quick question. What is the procedure in which those currently on food stamps, how do they enter into this program? What's their, is there a capturing mechanism as a...
It's not a story. Or even body result without dependent. But that's just a specific type of recipient who is eligible for this particular program. So it would be, you know, potentially single individual who can keep them.
My question really is, do, is it volunteer based? Is it them? Or is it required? Okay.
That's administered through Gateway.
Yes. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We will move on to Resolution 39. Approving the execution of contract amendment. Closing the contract amount to exceed, excess of $50,000 with James McGinnis and Associates. This extends the term of agreement for maintenance support modification. Consulting services for social service preschool program software. That's in the amount of $2,500. Move your discussion.
Move it.
Second.
Discussion. Carl, is this your alley and Lewis?
Well, it's just a software program. I mean, I don't know why, so 12/31/16, 12/31/17, and the previous contract is 12/31/15, 12/31/16.
This is pretty much the standard of software. Yeah. Every time the state uses it, it's customized and designed specifically for the preschool handicap program, and this is just annual, you know, renewal. We've been a large investment over the years, it's just an annual.
I don't have any problem with it.
Okay.
And I respect it.
Some guys in a few counties, actually I know them from years ago, and they actually, when the program was first instituted, but it used to be under the family court, when it was first given to the counties, the most county department of health operations, you know, a couple of entrepreneurs tackled this, they developed a software program, and over the years it's become the standard that everybody now uses.
Mm.
So this is run by the county, not the individual school district.
These are preschool children that are not school age. This is children of age 3 years old to 5 years old.
So it's mandated that we provide this software.
Yes. So regular ed preschool is run through the school district. Preschool for children with special needs is run by the county.
They just
don't feel like taking handles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Y
in fact, like all counties, two or three, this program is run through the county health department. Back when the program was first came into the county, the position was made strategically for the county department of social services to take responsibility for it. There's quite a few administrative reimbursements in that way. So by doing that a little different than anybody else, we've it's really benefiting our taxpayers.
You're not all in favor?
Yeah, all right.
All right. All right, so 44. This is approving the official contract for $50,000 with the rehabilitation work services. Move for discussion?
I'll move it.
Second.
This, if I remember correctly, I think it's
fencing wall.
Okay.
I am just passing their money, but it's like 100% state funded.
Okay. Because it's amazing that all the state has to pay to support the real houses that we do.
Yep.
All right. I know state and federal pass through, but it's only an 18-bed facility, and they're getting 697,000 dollars, and $242,000 of it is for the building. You could buy a building for that in 1 year. This is where our state and federal tax money is going. All right. This company. Last year, I actually voted no against this contract. And the town of Tulpas right now is in litigation with Rehabilitation Support Services for another project in the town. But if I have to say, you know, some of my tax money is hard at $697,000. I don't know, why can't we do it more efficiently? I mean, I've got, in my town, I've got a... I guess I just want to call it a social services boarding house that we pay almost $300,000 a year for. You could buy that house for maybe $60,000. And I'm torn because I've been working with NYSAC on sober home regulations, and I understand that the Office of Alcohol and Substance Abuse has just come out with new regs. But not everybody has to abide by them, only ones who are getting OASIS funding. I personally have talked to people who had their children in this house for rehabilitation, but not for rehabilitation, but just as a sober home. You have the next step after rehab. And they said it's no different than any other. They said the availability of drugs and the instances of where you can gain drugs in this place or in any other place. The only thing about this place is that they do follow regulations. It's staffed 24 hours a day. But until the state can come up with some kind of regulation and some kind of inspection process where they can actually look at, you know, to keep the drug dealers away and keep the drugs out of these houses, I'm always going to be a no. And I am going to be a no on this.
Okay.
It's just a matter of principle. So much money. And I had two people come up to me when I sponsored the Narcan training, and they told me about their experiences with their children in this place, and they said it was just like them being at home. The other part of being in a halfway house or a sober home is, I think what you really should do is be out of your hometown when you're doing it, away from people who know you, away from the temptations that life has to bring. So, I don't know. I'm going to be a no on this, and it's for those reasons. It's a lot of money, and I don't believe that it's that effective.
I have a couple of questions, if you don't mind. Is this the only sober house in Ulster County?
No.
The other sober houses get this kind of money?
Yes.
Well, they're all cost-based reimbursement, as you stated, that's getting worse.
And again, this is a state federal laws passing through that facility. You guys have a contracting mechanism, the county, through our local government unit, the Department of Mental Health, is where those dollars pass through. This house has a good track record. I'm not aware of those kind of flagrant violations. I mean, we hear complaints from that like that from time to time of various facilities that come, and we do follow up. And most instances, allegations are unfounded. In fact, there's usually a wait list to get them into this facility.
What's the closest one to us right now? The one in Kingston, New Paltz.
This one's already going to be closer.
It's already.
Yes, this one is.
I mean, these are, you know, Ken is talking about Oasis certified safe homes.
Right.
But there are safe homes in Ulster County that are private, and there's one in Ripon, and they don't get federal aid or state aid.
I'm not aware of any unregulated solar homes in the county.
That's the one where Moran Carey's sister is.
I believe they get state
aid. Oh, yeah? Well, then that would be the closest.
I'd like to do a tour of one of these houses one day.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
We will do that.
How does
it work
as far as
confidential evidence? Yes, but I'm willing to talk about it. Okay. Yeah. I'd love to get the community up to the Department of Health and Mental Health and your schedule soon. So I'd like to talk about, and I'd like to share some of the programming that's going on. Specifically, for example, mental health is doing so well. I'd really like you to meet the team and understand.
Yeah, we had discussed that.
Yeah, there's 71 people from the emergency room every month.
Okay.
Just doing a lot of great stuff. I'd like to you can get up there. It's just easier for me to have the staff up there and some of the contractors hopefully share some of that. But yeah, there's a lot of misinformation about homes like the Beale House and others in the county. They have a pretty good track record. I mean, it's such a given the current increase of heroin and other opiate related you spend a lot of time. It's just really different.
Anything else? No?
All right.
Carrie, now we're going to move on to is that the real number? Oh, yeah, 45. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. 145. This is approving an institutional contract that exists with $50,000 with people appropriate providing various services for to planning to repeal the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. For discussion.
We have a response here today. The resolution is pretty straightforward. It calls for an opposition to the repeal or weakening of the Affordable Care Act. It was in response to a recent state report that highlighted the potential of 20,000 residents in Ulster County. That is based on current New York State Exchange, the current New York State Exchange, as well as the impact of direct funding to the tune of just under $3 million as well, followed by the executive order that was signed by the president following the previous weekend, which I introduced. So like I said, it's straightforward, and that is why I put it in.
I got a question. Back in the thing, you got resolution 71.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is put in by your Mr. Allen.
Mm-hmm.
They're both pretty. I don't want to say they're both the same because they're definitely worded different, but at the end they're the same.
I'm not asking.
I disagree wholeheartedly too.
Yeah,
I think that mine is much more comprehensive and detailed, and it offers many more solutions. There's not one element of partisanship in the writing of my document.
Are you trying to say your college has partisanship?
I said that. So it's a very good conversation. So.
Yeah, I just, I mean, I myself don't like, I mean, I'm cutting right to the chase, you know, and the concern that, you know, there's some things we need to be doing better with healthcare in this country, and one of them has to do with covering people that are uninsured. That was the whole intent and purpose behind the Affordable Care Act, and I don't necessarily think the Affordable Care Act achieved that. It was an expansion of Medicaid. Some states chose not to accept the federal funding for an expansion of Medicaid. States like New York, the eligibility is a relatively low income threshold where it's or 12,000, or it's a high threshold, I should say. So it's 12,000 a year. If you make 12,000, you can qualify, you can go down to social services and apply for benefits through Ulster County and receive them through the state, which the money comes and the state provides it, money comes from the feds. In a state like Texas, it's like $3,300. So obviously in a state like Texas, you know, you have to be pretty destitute to qualify for, indigent care benefits. Now, there's states like Colorado, I lived there for 8 years, they have state-based sliding scale clinics that are set up around agricultural belts, and the money comes from Medicaid to the state, and they choose to spend it that way, and it's primarily geared towards migrant farm workers who are Mexican. And so all the staff members of these clinics are bilingual. Doctors, nurses, support staff, anybody can go there. You show your 1040.
You're getting off track a little bit.
No, I'm not, because I mentioned it in, I basically mentioned that in one of the differences.
We're talking about Resolution 15.
Right, but what he asked me what the differences were, and the difference between 71, mine and his, is I mentioned that as a
subject. You're talking about farmers in Colorado.
No, anybody can use it. What I'm saying is, I'm giving background information as to that something that I believe states should be doing, that the federal government should encourage more states to do that, but provide more funding to do that, so that is one of the solutions that can fund people that are uninsured.
Does that mean eliminate the individual mandate?
I didn't say anything about the individual mandate.
Yeah, is that just a question? Is that part of something that you would consider as something that you need to find? And this is
I think they need to
look. Is that potentially the difference between the two resolutions? You know, I don't know. Is there any common ground on this? I asked, that's why I asked. You know, because I figured you're both you know, probably share a similar ideology, being that you're both Democrats and part of the caucus. My question would be if you share similar ideology and similar thoughts as related to the Affordable Care Act, how it should go forward, and how we should potentially vote as a legislature either for or against, you know, the total repeal, that's something that you can work on together to find common ground in order to come up with a more comprehensive resolution. And if so, you know, why hasn't that, you know, been part of this process?
Well, Liz and I have talked extensively, I would say, over the last week. But I believe that the, you know, fundamental differences in our two resolutions, mainly being that mine is opposing a repeal and or weakening of the Affordable Care Act as it currently states the policy, where Legislator Allen's, I believe, is worked differently, but again, I'm here to talk about my resolution that's on the agenda. And so in regards to that,
it's out of order to speak to that resolution.
Right, yeah, and if you want to bring that up in new business, then I think we have, that would be a more
like I was just addressing. No, it could take forever to go through the similarities and differences.
Well, I didn't want a big discussion. I just wanted the fact that there are two similar resolutions here, and maybe we should only have one and combine, you know, have a joint effort.
That was my suggestion, because I felt I could get more votes. Like, I had individual legislators that told me that they would vote on mine that were not Democrats.
Well, anyway,
are you raising your hand? Yes, I'm raising my hand.
Yes. So the point of order has to be addressed first.
No, my point of order was that you're out of order in talking about your resolution.
Right.
Stop talking about that. Get through this one. And then it's the chairman's purview to talk about
answering the question of my fellow listeners. And I was being polite, too, and bringing it up that why can't we all work together on these things? I mean, I see in your press release that you put out that you wanted Republican support, but you're having a hard time getting along with your Democratic colleague. And
well, I think that's not true, Legislator Allen. You haven't been privy to the conversations that Legislator Allen had extensively.
But, you know, and speaking of that point, I know that if I shared similar idea with the Republican colleagues, I think that we would have had an open dialogue in order to come up with something that we could both agree on. Now, I'm not saying that it's a Democrat-Republican thing. I think it's a communication thing.
Like I said, we have had extensive conversations. And there was, like I said, I don't think it's relevant to discuss something that's on the agenda and call that order. But also that if there's
Mr. Chairman, I pulled my question.
Okay.
All right. With totally different ideas, but I'd be happy to have a discussion with you going forward about that.
So, well, then we will move forward with a discussion on Resolution 15. Carl?
Thank you. With all due respect to the sponsor, this memorializing resolution is speculation. There's a lot of ifs, ands, or buts in it. There's no concrete, you know, if. Well, let's put it this way. The first whereas, I'll go through every whereas.
Yeah.
The first whereas is suggestive, where you're basically stating that the 44th president did all this great stuff with profound social demographic technology for us. To me, that's subjective. To the taxpayer, that's subjective.
Oh, okay. My rebuttal that was that this was about social, demographic, technological, political changes on both sides of the political spectrum.
Right.
Not one side of the
spectrum. And I agree with that time period. But how is that?
But it's subjective.
And how is that? Yeah, and I've...
Because BHA is one of the largest policy...
Right. No,
but
just specifically, I was going to ask you what that meant as well. And is that
bigger than the New Deal?
And my question is,
I'm still on my question.
Okay.
The second whereas, you know, I can poll 100 people and 50 people will say that it's worked. expensive and less affordable than being more affordable. Number three, I agree with. Number three is okay. Number four is okay. That's truthful and factual. Number five, okay. But number six, it's under the new administration. The AC is likely to be irresponsibly removed. And let's write that. That's irresponsible. Put that in effect.
But right, there's been an executive order issuing the repeal of it with no replacement plan.
But is your...
That's incorrect, too.
But is irresponsible, is that factual or is that...
I believe when 20,000 people are at risk of losing coverage and we're at risk of losing $3 million in funding, just as a county, specifically as a county, I'm going to focus this on Mercer County, it's like been said, every state is different, every state chose to do different things through the exchange or whatnot, so focusing on Mercer County, I believe that a repeal of the Affordable Care Act would be irresponsible.
The only executive order that I'm aware of right now is that the government is not going to spend any more money on the Affordable Care Act. They're not going to put any more money into it. They haven't taken anything out of it. They haven't said that people aren't going to be covered. There isn't a plan right now. The only plan that I...
Well, that executive order first.
Well, I know that there is an executive order that instructs the, now the head of the Department of... there was an executive order in order to move forward on the repeal replace process, but it wasn't anything more than that.
And if it makes legislative particularly, I'd be happy to move the town
responsibly.
And then, you know, but from there on, it just goes into more speculation. The ACA would have detrimental effects. That's it. Whereas an estimated would impact, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
This is all it. It's the same one.
This is a higher end repeal. You know, call for repeal, but there is no plan in place.
But it's all ifs. County would lose. That's an if.
America would lose $3 million.
Should
they execute if the intention of, which right. I believe Congress, Senator, Majority Leader McConnell, and Speaker Ryan have both supported.
And then, whereas the legislature believes the health and civil rights of Americans should never be at risk, of course, this goes without saying, and that we oppose any effort to repeal or weaken the Affordable Care Act. Me personally, I've been waiting for the chance to repeal the Affordable Health Care Act. I've had many people who I know as friends who are professionals and have careers and make good money, and they're paying somewhat, on the average, $600 to $700 a month for a single plan with like $1,000 deductible. And I know before the Affordable Care Act, you could get insurance a lot cheaper with less deductible. You could, I know because I looked into it years ago. Associations, they let you get onto their health care. Like the Chamber of Commerce had a plan. If you were a Chamber of Commerce member, you got their group rate. And other organizations did the same thing. I don't have the answer for the Affordable Care Act, but I've been waiting to see something better, and I want to wait for it. And I'm going to be a no on this. I'm a no on it because it's all speculation, and it's what it's doing, what this resolution does to the residents of Ulster County and what your press release did, is polarize the community once again. I mean, we're polarizing the community.
Well, if you talk about it, that you're stating facts, and you...
I mean, you were talking about there's been discussion of repealing without any replacement. And it's been years since they've had opportunities to give a replacement, and you have a president that's signing an executive order. These are the current numbers of those under that policy, which is executive order effects, and the comments of both the speaker and the majority leader. I don't believe that's, I believe that's more concerning than the fact that I'm pointing out the facts of who's currently enrolled under that policy that they're trying to repeal without any replacement. And staying, at least putting out the threat of repeal without any replacement, I think that is more polarizing to the 20,000 residents of Ulster County and the taxpayers of Ulster County who would have $3 million projected as loss in direct federal funding. I mean, that's my personal opinion. You obviously have your opinion.
Right. Yeah, and I don't have a problem with all that. But what I have a problem with is how this resolution is put together and sort of the language. You know, I go back to the first whereas, so it says, profound demographic technological and political changes have swept across the United States during the 44th president.
Like I said, that was intended to mean on both sides of the
right,
political spectrum. And I'm happy to remove that as well.
Okay. My question would be, what exactly does that mean? Well, now, I'm straight guy. I know what it means, but, the social, democratic, technological, and political changes of the 45th president shifts in policy, public opinion. What does that have to do with, specifically with the ACA, and how is that related to this resolution?
As the author of it said, it was establishing the size of such a policy within the political climate, the
national climate.
I interpreted as the author that it did. Like I said, if you're uncomfortable, I would be happy to strike that.
Yeah, well, that
would just be start out with the second.
Well, that we disagree with the first word. No, I'll go to the second one where it says the ECA makes healthcare and health insurance more affordable. Now, I have some issues with that as well because, yes, I would agree that the ACA has made health insurance more affordable for some. But at the same time, I think you would also agree that it has also caused some issues for other people, whether their insurance, whether their premiums went through the roof, whether they lost it altogether. Now, this was sold to the American people as if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. And as we all know, that wasn't the case. So, to say that people have benefited by this becoming more affordable for them, I think leaves out a large demographic of people who haven't benefited from this as well. And I think it would be unfair to exclude those who have, been affected under the circumstances. So, that's another one where I'm not particularly enamored by the wording here, but I think what would make it better, and that would be up to you as the sponsor, would also include those who have been disenfranchised by it. So,
I just respond to that one, whereas before. I didn't get to print all my sheets out, but I'd be happy to provide data from actual industry journals, health industry journals, that would show that premium growth under the Affordable Care Act as a whole has been less than under the Clinton and Bush administrations. Again, as a whole, so I do understand where you are speaking as to the point where there are, within this policy, going to be instances, there are going to be those folks that their premiums have gone up. I was addressing it as a whole based on journal data, and like I said, I'd be happy to provide that. But if you, I do actually not disagree in the sense of including language to improve upon those who are seeing premiums go up, because like I said, my resolution to resolve is the repeal or weakening. I've never said once that I'm against an improvement too.
Sure, but that's not what this resolution says.
I'm saying that point you just made, I thought was a good point. Because overall, I was basing on overall data that shows that the average premium increases under the Affordable Care Act as a whole have been less than the previous Democratic and Republican. It was actually the highest under the Clinton administration.
Right, and I understand that.
Like I'm saying, that if you want to estimate your sentiment, that there will be folks that said that my premiums, like I said, I don't know the specific instances of, that specific case. I was just going on what I believe as policymakers are best is looking at policies as a whole.
Right, so the other ones are just somewhat collateral damage when it comes to, you know, but I'm just saying is that, you know, if it's helping people, you know, more so than it's hurting people, there's people that are getting hurt by this. So, yeah, and I appreciate it.
But like I said, I don't know that specific. This is, in some cases, you have it where they are actually getting, you know, much greater quality of plan. I don't know, and also it depends because of the way the New York Beacons work specifically, so will it impact also county residents would be under the New York State Exchange, where a lot of savings comes in the forms of the tax rebate. So like I said, every instance, you know, if we're going to individually, for every single person is going to be different.
Okay. Now that's why I appreciate you considering my suggestion. I would go down to 13 yards, which says, the health and civil rights of Americans should never be at risk. Now, this I'm sure you're probably going to disagree with that. This is what I find most ironic. I can't think of a better example of infringing on civil liberties and mandating them to purchase something that they don't want. To me, that's a fundamental right for me to say, I don't want to buy this. And to make somebody, for the government to make somebody purchase something that they don't want. And if you don't want it, you have to pay a fine.
Tax
or fee. Yeah.
Not going to the court.
Yeah. Semantics.
Mexico pay for
it. Right. And I just think that's it wasn't the right way to go about it. Yeah, of course it's settled law now because it was the Supreme Court's decision. But I think that if we're going to agree to this resolution and agree as well that the health and civil rights of Americans should never be at risk, I think that some of the reason people have been, pinched on by making them have to pay for this. So, and that's just another whereas that I have an issue with.
And you brought up my response. I mean, we've decided philosophically have different viewpoints. I believe in the viewpoints that the Supreme Court ordered that you referenced.
Sure. Yeah, if they consider it a tax, which I just disagree with. But whatever it is, so it was.
Tax is a tax.
Tax is a tax, right. And then the first resolve I had an issue with as well. The whole Scandal legislature opposes any effort to repeal or weaken. Yes. Anything less. We can't choose anything less. That's my point. So this means that the legislature opposes any effort to repeal means that any repeal, including provisions of the ACA, that have been found to not work or have, issues, then we can't be in favor of the repeal of those either according to this resolution. Any repeal weekend. So if I voted yes on this, then I'd be voting yes on not allowing for the repeal of even the parts of this policy that have been proven not to work for the people. So I would think that the language in that would have to change as well. Well, in order to get my support, we're going to have a fundamental difference, philosophically anyway. But in order to have my support, I think that these are things that have to change to make it more of an all-inclusive, representing everybody and not just those who have, benefited from this being passed. So those are my issues. And
I'd just like to go on and I want to thank you for taking the time to write this. It's something I disagree with. I just want to, and I'm not going to go point by point like Mr. the chairman did,
but I can tell you that I have never heard, and I don't think anybody here has heard either, President Trump, Vice President Pence, Speaker Ryan, Senate Majority Leader McConnell, any other Republican leader say they were going to repeal the ACA without replacement. I have never heard a straight repeal. I have confidence that there is going to be a repeal and a replacement with something that the majority of Americans can, work with, live with. That's not going to be a budget buster like this the ACA is. Doesn't pay for itself. The money that New York State and Ulster County would lose, I don't think that money is a net gain. I think it's a wash at the end of the day. Am I correct there? Or?
Well, I mean, if you're talking long term, what it cost to have uninsured individuals within your community? I mean, long term, the cost, we were just talking, the goal is to get people, healthy people. It's less expensive in the society, in the community, especially with a county where we're mandated to provide so many such services.
And that's a noble goal, too, but the more noble goal is that thousands of people in Ulster County that can no longer afford health insurance because of the ACA and have to pay enormous co-payments just for...
Like I said, the cost is still the lowest they've been.
They're the highest they've been. The rate of growth might have...
And most of those increases aren't through the ACA, the direct assistance of health insurance companies.
It's all related to the ACA taking the services from one of them.
Those recent reports, for example, Aetna was the big one. New York Post just reported this week that it was all slammed Aetna because they tried to mask it as the fact that it wasn't financially stable for them, and that's why they were pulling out of the exchange. Well, it turned out it was actually Aetna leveraging because they wanted to use FEMA's hold their position in the exchange hostage for approval of a large merger. So I can't say the insurance companies have been exactly willing participants, and I guess that is because of the fact that 80% of their costs have to now go to actually providing care. So the bottom line, in terms of profits, are going to go down, and they are seeking to make more profits.
And these are all things that I think could have been avoided. Perhaps you would have had a little more insight as to how this was actually going to affect America. I disagree with the whole way that it went down. My goodness, it was the least democratic policy procedure that I have been aware of probably in generations. It was not through a reconciliation process, which really is a parliamentary trick. That reconciliation is usually reserved for wartime spending, emergency spending, because it's such a bureaucratic nonsense and partisanship out of having them pass something that's really important to the country. And this, in a major that it was Scott Brown from Massachusetts was wanting, saying that if he won, he would be, with the 60th vote or something against it.
Scott Brown, he's the pickup track. Scott guy from Massachusetts.
Yes, they knew that they didn't have the votes. He would not, Nancy Pelosi to herself that we have to pass this before we vote on it. Perhaps if we didn't move it so quickly, we would have had a better understanding, maybe a better grasp on the impact that this had. It's totally changed the face of the healthcare industry. It's affected a lot of people in a diverse way, although it has helped people, mostly those who have been picked up on Medicaid through today's change.
Slightly disagree.
But, it's, it's unfortunate the way it happened. And I know your heart's in the right place here. Okay, it's not personal.
No, I don't take it personal. I was a little offended by the angry emoticons on the county, you know, Facebook page. I'll tell you that after.
Okay. I didn't see that.
But this has nothing to do with you personally.
I'm someone that's personally benefited from the Affordable Care Act, and that was and that's why I take some of the green salt in terms of expansion of Medicaid. I mean, I'll be happy to make copies. This is from the Department of Health and Human Services facts in New York State. But that highlights hundreds of thousands of, you know, young adults, including myself, who were able to stay on their parents' health insurance until the age of 26. As someone who had a chronic health condition and graduated college in 2010, while applying to jobs, I was painting houses. Then the day was the only thing that allowed me to be able to afford my medication at the time. That's why I am passionate about it. And I've worked through different forms of my professional life supporting the ACA. So that is where it came from. I know there's been things said in the press about political accusations and stuff like that. I think if we all actually did go through and read some recent resolutions in years past, then I think that was kind of an unfounded accusation. That's why I really am passionate about it, and it does concern me because I truly believe as a legislator in terms of good policy that quality health insurance and coverage and makes a huge difference in the overall well-being of our communities, and especially in county government where we are mandated to very much a great responsibility of overseeing the health and well-being of the constituents directly within our county through both federal and state mandates.
I can appreciate all of that. Now, as you know that how this is probably going
to happen.
Now, is this something you would consider withdrawing, working on it, maybe changing some things?
I mean, I agreed with pretty much every change. A good bit of the things you recommended.
So, I'm just letting the...
The problem is, just to be honest with you, I'd be more willing to work, but the fact is the chairman, not this chairman, has pretty much put it under the gun to where they're going to be banned to begin with them. So, I mean, it's just I'm going to make those changes that we discussed tonight. I'm fine to do it, but the chairman of the legislature has, put a ticking, time on it.
He might not have their votes either, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's not my battle. That's just where I'm coming. I was happy with some of the suggestions you made. I was, willing to address them. I'm willing to, go back through and highlight those and make those amendments, but I'm willing to do that right now. But unfortunately, the way the timeline was set up, I would essentially, based on comments from the chairman, just be doing all that work for no reason, because he will... I'd be working on a resolution that would be banned by the time I was...
No, that's not necessarily true. It doesn't have the votes to move through committee this month.
You know that for a fact?
Yes, I know. What committee is it going in? Your committee. How do you know it doesn't have the votes? Because they're not going to be there, and Kim's not going to be there.
So it doesn't have the votes. Come on.
You're not going to be there.
Yeah, but the chairman allows it to be voted down.
It's going to be a tie. It's not going to... tie goes to nowhere.
It's not early.
Right. A tie means it's a pass. It doesn't, I mean, it doesn't pass, but it essentially fails.
So then he has enough time to get, then Richie has plenty of time to get a motion of discharge.
Not last month. It's the day before the meeting.
You have enough time to put a position of discharge. So here's the thing. Well, I mean, for my, but not if they lay it aside. Chris wants to make a deal here, so I'm like, John, to keep going. It's your resolution. Well, that is just my concern because of other forces, and I appreciate the debate tonight and, you know, and all that. It's, you know, a good discussion.
And if you don't mind me interrupting you at one time, and then I'll shut up for the rest of the night, maybe. I think the original ACA was passed without any Republican support. It appears that the repeal and replacement will happen without too much Democratic support. There isn't much we could do here sitting around this table, but we should be working together trying to come up with some ideas here that we think would work instead of, you know, I don't want to say putting together a political piece here, but, you know, it's something that you know none of us could support.
I mean,
sure, I could support, you know, when, even when I have, think about having kids on health insurance plan until they're 26. I'm like, how do they come up with that number? Why not 25? Why not 27? Why 26?
Yeah.
You know, how much money could you save insurance?
Probably a lot of money.
How much money could they save to drop it down to 25? You know, why 26? That's such a number that doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, if I could speculate if the charitable care gap, maybe like they're figuring like 8 years would be. Somebody to get, like, say, a master's degree, you know, and if they're not able to get insurance through, you know, their college, you know, or if they don't have the money for an extra, you know, like, you can get insurance through most colleges.
Yeah, they can afford a master's degree. They can afford a health.
Not necessarily. I wanted to just, like, I guess give my perception of your resolution and offer some suggestions and maybe get yourself
back to your thing.
We were really on the phone for a little bit. I mean, we only talked for like 5 minutes, man.
Well, I recommend that. I mean, there might have been a phone conversation for 5 minutes.
No, I mean, I'm serious. We only talked on the phone like 5 or 10 minutes. So, like, I'm serious.
5 or 10. Is Charlotte Wenzel in this meeting?
No, he crossed the hall.
Does she normally come to these meetings?
Mm-hmm. No, there's a 7 o'clock meeting.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
So,
I know her. I would just go with her.
Like the
Joelle
turn.
Sorry.
So the first whereas paragraph and the second whereas paragraph, I kind of look at those as they're like literary non sequiturs. Like they really don't belong in the resolution. Like I understand it's like the first whereas is basically a statement on, you know, political climate during 8 years of President Obama. It doesn't mention health care, doesn't mention the Affordable Care Act.
I thought I was willing to strike that.
No, I know. I'm gonna help you out here to try and get your 3 votes out of this. Just trust me. So then the second whereas paragraph.
Yeah,
I'm definitely in the other. Just hear me out. How do you know I didn't mean Carl? The second whereas I feel the same way, is that it's it's not needed. It's not really advancing what you're trying to make. Like you're trying to set off, like it's like you're using two whereas prefacing paragraphs, and I don't think they're accomplishing what you really need to try and do. You need to try and get 12 votes out of this. okay, and I don't think it addresses the actual issues at hand. They're more broad. The first one is a political statement. The second one is more of a broad, generalized statement that it doesn't really cut to the heart of any of the issues of it. The third paragraph, I think, is fine. So is the fourth. The fifth one, if it were my resolution, and I'm looking to make it sound where I'm going to get more votes, I would change it to you could put it in there. It would be detrimental to have those who benefited through the, could you say work? And it would be detrimental
to one five.
You know, you should have these, whereas it's
not. Okay, I'm sorry. So, right.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, I'm sorry. So on my writing's all over the place here. So back to the fourth whereas paragraph. After, when you said pre-existing conditions, I know you mentioned 26 up there before, but it ties in together. If you were to add four dependents up through the age of 26 to stay on their parents' insurance plan, and then when you go to the fifth whereas, that's fine.
Can
the sixth whereas...
Can I jump in here a second?
Yeah.
Yeah, just in the spirit of saving time here. Could I now pull the committee and ask if any of these changes, no matter is going to change now for the vote? Like, is this going? Like, Kevin, Carl, like...
Well, it might change mine. I mean...
You
already know your vote.
No, I don't.
Although I made suggestions, and
you're...
Well, no, but I mean,
to
my suggestions, I just don't know
if
it's going to be
enough. Well, can you hear me? So I can take me that one, I promise. I swear to God, I'm almost done. So up to...
Since 2010, you're on.
Okay, so that's good. I like that one, okay? Then the next one... If you said, whereas it would be detrimental to have those who benefited from the enactment of the Affordable Care Act, if it were repealed without a comparable replacement plan put into place, if you said that instead, okay, the next paragraph is great research, the following paragraph is great research, all right, and here, it so... The one that I said, instead of saying whereas under the new administration the ACA is likely to be irresponsibly repealed without a replacement plan in place, if you change that one to say whereas it would be detrimental to have those who benefited from the enactment of the Affordable Care Act, if the Affordable Care Act is repealed without a comparable plan that allows, if there's not a comparable plan that is not put into place.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's one of the big disagreements that we had because of what we agreed upon. I don't like the word comparable, but we agree upon as comparable. Does that protect, you know...
Well, I just said it before. Comparable, that allows dependents up to the age of 26 to stay on the insured customer plan.
Those are the two aspects of a very broad policy that includes issues like protection for women's reproductive health care costs. That includes preventative, I mean, you can list those two, but, I mean, the thing is covered under the foot. It's a list.
I'm saying that you like down the hall. In there, then.
It is, I mean, down the hall, so I chose to just encompass the ACA as a whole.
Well, I mean, I think you got to be realistic about this. I mean,
the fundamental systems thing, that was one of the things when we did have discussions that I kept bringing up where we disagreed.
Well, I mean, you just said you disagreed with my usage of the word repeal. In the comparable, and you basically
left me a
voice
call
message. Comparable. We really didn't have a conversation back and forth. Mm-hmm.
So you're done with your little experiment, Chris?
Well, the last resolve. The first resolve is it said the Ulster County Legislature opposes any effort
to repeal the Affordable Care Act without a comparable plan put into law.
Yeah. Resolved, the Ulster County Legislature opposes any effort to repeal the Affordable Care Act without a comparable plan put into law in its place.
Like I said, I'm not comfortable with the language comparable plan and acknowledging the repeal. I don't feel like that would be fair to the many people that have supported that reached out support. If I acknowledge the repeal and just let vague language and comparable,
what I'm saying
doesn't actually mean
what the
I think undermines the point.
I think it's vague language to begin with if you don't specify what the things are you want to protect. Like, you got to
see it.
Because you're basically...
It's vague.
But I know, but you're dealing with a weakening. Yeah, but weakening is a generalized term. Like, what does that mean? Like, I mean, that weakening could mean anything.
The weakening, in my opinion, would say if they try to strip certain provisions, such as reproductive. But the list is, you know,
it's kind of analogous to Nancy Pelosi saying we have to vote on it to know what's in it. I mean, my opinion.
I mean, and it's almost like, I'm trying to think.
But there's legal language.
There's, I would say, thousands of ways that lawmakers could come up to weaken.
You could say limited, but you could use the legal language limited. Including but not limited to, and then you could dot, put a colon there, and you could list them all. Boom, boom, boom. You have to explain what they all are, but you could, I mean, that would be a way of doing it. You could say women's reproductive rights, dependents up to the age of 20.
But then when you get into the business of doing that and you leave something out,
if you're not listing it, then what do people know what weakening means? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, as lawmakers, we need to be specific. Like, I tried to make mine very specific, and those are things that I even missed, like you said about women's reproductive rights.
That's the problem. You start listening to things, you miss things, and then you give.
But then if you just paint it, you're listing two. You're listing...
They currently exist.
You're listing up to the age of 26, which I do also, and you're listing pre-existing conditions. Now, those are two things that, like... our new president and Republicans themselves have said that are in Washington have said that they would like to try and keep in a new health care plan. I don't see any problem with it. It's just a matter of putting the time into list them and making it a longer document. I mean, we're talking about the Affordable Care Act, which is thousands of pages long. So I don't see the problem. If you wrote a 5-page resolution,
I believe it would be more than 5 pages.
To list all the things that you'd want to protect?
Yeah, because I'd still be reading things out, I'm sure.
I think you're selling yourself short. I think if you put the time in to do the research, I think people, I just think it's, there was...
We had a great staff here. I'm sure they would love to help you out.
They were very helpful.
No, putting a resolution like this together, I could write something like this in 45 minutes. So, what I'm saying is, like, if you're, college ed, I'm sure term papers you wrote in college are, like, not like it took hours. But my point is, you could really make this something extensive if you're worried about the listing of individual protections and then just list them. Because if anything, you're going to gain votes out of that instead of lose votes, because then people will be like, you might have a Republican legislator that says, I agree with that. Because I happen to know I had a conversation with one, and they specifically said, I would vote for that because I believe in keeping dependents on up to age 26 in pre-existing conditions. You might have another Republican legislator in here who might say, I believe in women's reproductive rights.
But then if they're
adding onto the list.
If they agree with that, though, then they should be with the ACA that includes it.
Not necessarily, though. I mean, they might just agree with the fact that there should be something else. That they might see the writing on the wall and realize something's going to happen with this, and that, well, whatever the replacement plan is, it needs to be on the same par. So not to overuse the word comparable.
Comparable.
So, some people here have their minds on like their whatever the exit is they take on the way home. Or, I didn't mean to drag this on, but I'm just trying to have a substantive conversation here. I mean, I think Legislator Hefner is too. I would hope because it is something that's important. And you know, both of us put some time into our resolutions. So
I'm not talking about yours.
Well, I withdrew mine because I thought that we were going to work together on something, and he put his in a day before I put mine in, so I can put mine back up again.
It'll be late. Yeah.
Wait for what?
I don't think it's going to qualify. I don't
think Memorial Edge
resolution qualifies.
I think he said they don't. I mean, I can put it in next month.
Absolutely. Yeah, say that we're going to agree to disagree on certain things, and we're not going to hear that. Something that everybody's going to be agreeable on. So I go back to my comment that I had made before, that although I had made some suggestions or changes that you are more than receptive to them, I just think, as a whole, there's too much in this resolution that would have to change to satisfy me and want it to be the yes on this stuff. That's where I stand. And, you know, if anybody has anything else to say, you know, if not, then I'll call a question on it.
One question.
All right.
I'd like to entertain a motion if my colleague wishes to table his. Work on it, bring it back.
Work on it.
We'll bring it back like next month, or if we have wanted to have a special meeting to vote on it again.
Work on it. What do you mean, the legislature up there? Work on it.
Yeah.
Himself or work.
It's up to him. It's up to him. If he wanted, I'm still open to working with him to merge the two together. If he wants to do his vision of it and I do mine, that's fine too. I don't have a problem. I'd like to. I just, there's some things in here that I don't feel comfortable about voting yes on, just with, in light of the complexity of the law, and he seems to be well aware of that. I mean, it's just, I think that he should make it longer, more comprehensive, and list the things that he's concerned about. And, you know, he said he already kind of, is willing to see the concerns that you expressed and I expressed about the first, and Carl expressed, and well, everybody about the first two whereas paragraphs. But then some of the other language I think could just be phrased a little differently. And I think
your motion on the table is to do what?
Well, I would say to table it, either we would have a special meeting so he can try and still get it through this month. Like we could meet like after caucus before the meeting or table it for the following month?
Well, prior to your motion, is that something that was
no, I'm asking. I'm throwing it out there.
You guys just said that it didn't seem like you, despite changes in,
term would be postponed. You don't want to table a resolution because when you table a resolution,
it has to be for a certain amount of time. That's up to the sponsor.
No, because I mean, there's a lot of good things in this resolution. I just think it needs to be worded different, and it needs to be more specific. And it, you know, Legislator Hefner's tuned in to his research on very pertinent facts and figures, and he's got a good handle on things that concern him. So my suggestion would be to just add that list out. Do it, you know, a colon, and just bang out a list of 20, 40 things that you want to see weakened in the Affordable Care Act.
Well, that's one thing, but we're also talking about things like comparable replacements that we fundamentally disagree.
Well, if you put
it, it's just a very small.
No, but that's details. That's not necessarily true, because if you were to list those things, you're a writer professional, you would know how to do that legislatively. So like if you could.
I'm not going to change my mind or my vote. I don't like this resolution. I subscribe to the notion that if someone has a better plan, I'm willing to look at it. Since we don't have the specifics of the new plan, I'm willing to wait and look at it. No one's going to take anyone's health care insurance away without having a replacement. I don't know what the big deal is. I cannot support this resolution. It infuriates me because it polarizes people at a time when this country needs to be healed of our differences and at least be more aware of each other's differences, but pushed on us. I'm a no. I want to vote.
I was just going to add one real thing quick. Instead of, like, say, comparable plan, you could say anything that threatens the protections of, boom, these, and you list the things. List the things you want. Forget about me using the word comparable, because that would be the quid pro quo and the replacement. So if you're just listing what your concerns are and you're saying these need to be protected, there's a lot of language that you could take out in its place, and it'll sound much more comfortable. It's a legislator that would be on the fence. And I don't necessarily mean people in this room. I'm thinking ahead for you. If you do a petition at discharge and you want to get 12 votes out of this, I really think you could if you followed my suggestion. I think you could get 12 votes out of this. I'm not sure if you'd like do like a legislative one-upmanship on you or anything along those lines. I'm just trying to throw out some creative suggestions from a literary perspective of what you can do to get more.
No, I appreciate it.
All right, well,
you have alternatives. No. They don't have to be discussed in this meeting.
Sure.
They really don't. You have alternatives. If we vote this down, you still have alternatives.
Well, no, I mean, he can do a petition of discharge, or he can...
So, all in favor?
Yes. Thanks for the nod.
All against?
Yes.
Opposed?
Aye.
I had just something, looking down the line, I have a call into Rensselaer County. I don't know the call is on UCAN with me. We had the sheriff's office come in and discuss something that I personally think is a good step to take in, is offering the jail treatment to inmates, which is, for those who don't know, the jail is an opiate blocker. For inmates while they're admitted to Ulster County Jail. It's an option available to them. I think that's a great step, and I commend the sheriff's office personally because I think that's a good step. Something that Rensselaer County has done is they've gone a step further because they know that it's actually a savings in the long run. If they have captured these individuals in the sense of being open to vitriol and treatment, that they are, while they're serving, instead of just sitting there for, 8 months, whatever county is, or 6 months, whatever the term is, beginning the stages, if they're willing, to begin seeking and being placed upon their release into an actual treatment facility. Because we all know that vitriol, yes, it's just an opiate blocker, but without actual treatment, we're just going to keep, possibly repeating the cycle, and it is a greater benefit to the county if they don't end up in the front doors of their county jail and have to be housed continually, but rather get treatment and be. So as I get kind of procedural policy and best practices from the folks over in Rensselaer County, I'd like to share it with the committee. Just to see if it's something we might be, interested in. Because really, once these are people leaving the care of the sheriff's office, in which case, it's not really under the purview of the sheriff's policy. Because, obviously I respect that. But I think since he's already taken a great step in terms of his internal policy, we might be able to further improve on that. If we find out that what Rensselaer is doing is actually, beneficial. But Chris, I've heard about it. and it's something we're going to continue looking into.
Yeah, I heard it on, I was listening to an interview radio program on WGY Radio in Albany back in May, and it was the Rensselaer County executive. She was on getting interviewed on one of those, like, community-type programs, and she was talking about the success of the program. So it's basically for inmates that are coming out of Rensselaer County jail time, so they have sentences of 1 year or less, and they find that the, her opinion was that the investment that society puts into them, trying to rehabilitate them and make them productive citizens of society and help them battling their demons to, help them have control of their drug addiction and be, full-time jobs and things of that nature, that it's a payback to society that's greater than the investment that they put into it. So I had brought it up to Vicki back around that time, suggesting that if we're asking for her opinion as to be putting that up for a resolution, setting a policy and researching it, and she had at the time suggested maybe that I talk to legislator John Perry, because he was had taken a lead role in forming Marcan when he was chairman. And then when I brought the issue up to her about probably a month ago, she suggested that I talk to Legislator Hefner, and I know that Legislator Hefner is far more knowledgeable about the subject than I am, and he has more time into it. So when I brought it up to Legislator Hefner, we talked on the phone probably 4 weeks ago, and then he went and really did a solid job doing a bunch of research on it, and then we touched base on it. So we see
common ground.
We get along.
More than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
No, much more than we talked on this resolution.
Yeah,
I
did have one quick question to the chairman.
At NYSAC and the Health and Mental Health Committee, we have approved the resolution, and the title of it is Resolution Calling for the Office of Alcohol and Substance Abuse Services and the Governor of the State of New York to provide state funding to support the treatment of individuals with substance use disorders who are incarcerated in county jails in order to help combat the heroin and opiate abuse epidemic and other addictions, save lives, and reduce the rate of recidivism.
Wow, that's solid.
So my
question was, and Jonathan actually
found this up. It might have been Rensselaer County Department of Health.
That's the model. That's
not even doing a lot of good stuff.
And Jonathan was going to research this, and I will too, is that we're looking into how they pay for it, and he knows more about these things than I do. And my curiosity is if they have any data. It's relatively new program, so they might not have data available yet on the success rate, Those are two things. Like, how are you going to pay for it, and is it successful or not? And the jury might be out on it still yet because they haven't been doing it long enough.
Yeah.
But there's innovative ways of paying for it. Legislator Hefner's well-versed in that stuff.
Well, it also depends where it was, where they're sending them to treatment. Certain states have different options available for payment of treatment. Some states it's a lot easier to get, Medicaid within just a short amount of time. Like, I believe Florida is one state known for that, where a lot of Woodstock is part of, we've instituted a PARI program, which is the best way I've learned about this. And certain states make it easier. So I think a lot of it depends. So that's why I'm curious about the overall cost and the cost in between when they leave treatment. Is there a time in between? Because then that's where it could get costly and not beneficial. And so, my only other thing with new business, obviously we saw the executives' proposal in the agreement today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so that, I'm assuming, would 100% come through this committee mm-hmm. first. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it would go to any other committee. But
no.
This is supposed to guard at 18 or 20, Kevin?
No, I didn't start that at like 42.
Mm-hmm. one of the things to consider, and I'm not crying foul or sour grapes, but there are plenty of people out there who want to get into a drug rehab, and regardless whether their insurance won't pay for it,
or they have to, you know, exhibit a worst case scenario. And one of the things I'll tell you about is Liz Berardi. Mm-hmm. And you know Liz, right? Her son. You know, at the time, the insurance regulations were he had to fail three times before they would accept him into a treatment program, and he died. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to just give these criminals, I mean, well, right, without anything, you know, except care. We don't even give suits anymore and a pair of shoes when you get out of jail. And now we're going to give them a second lease on life. I mean, I know the sheriff, as far as I know, what their plan was is to give them a shot of Vivitrol as they leave. And that's it. That would be the extent of the program, as they see it.
Yeah, because once they leave, it's no longer under the sheriff.
I mean, I want to help everybody, really good. But there are people out there who aren't criminals who can't get the help they need.
Right.
Right.
No, there is. That's a good
thing. You know, it could be a lot of backlash.
I'm really glad you brought that up, actually.
No, that's a concern.
Like I said, that's why we're just trying to get numbers and information and how to actually, because I'm just like,
how do we have a family advocate?
No, I think
I'm just curious how,
no, I'm seriously, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I, to be quite honest with you, I didn't think of it. See, that's why it's good to have these discussions like that, you know, and for us to work together.
I think come out of
prison with
a bachelor
thing,
then go right
to the
a couple of questions before you get it. How hard is it to get the Narcan drug to this? You have to be EMT or?
No, I have it. You have to get the training. You can sponsor a
friend in your district.
Yeah. The Family Institute for Family Health will help you out.
Dr. Harvey.
Yeah. And Marie from Awareness.
He gets up to
it right away with it. Just give it to him.
No, he'll train your E-class. What you do is you send out a press release and then
find a location.
You find a location where you want to have it. Send the press release, get it out on Facebook.
So all your individual person that may need it.
No, you have not. You need somebody to have it.
What I'm getting at is the state of Pennsylvania made it legal to buy that over the counter.
Really?
Yeah. I know it's been proposed in New York State. I don't know if it's actually moved in New York State. I know there is a proposal in New York State as well.
I mean, that's a resolution this committee should get behind.
Yeah.
You know, supporting, you know, we could all agree on that, mm-hmm. You know, making it,
you want to put it up next month?
You and John Ryder, you guys are...
I have nothing to add, you guys.
Just put my name on it.
So I'll leave out the part about the expansion of TJ.
You could leave out the sweeping social changes that are occurring under the current Trump administration.
Under the Trump administration, there's more drug addicts on the street.
No, but I just made it a joke. But no, that would be, I'm sure that.
Because I don't think it might have actually even been part of the governor's recent state of the state.
Now, is that a moralizing resolution? It would be.
I don't think
we get that in under the gun.
I don't think we're allowed to mandate pharmacies be able to sell Narcan over the counter.
No, but you would basically say that you would be allowing for the state senate and assembly to. To create co-sponsored accompanying bills in each house that would allow for the sale of Narcan over the counter, and then bang out your reasons why.
Yeah, actually, it could even be part of the Article 7 of the governor's budget, executive budget. So I'll look to find that out too.
We can have these really weird pharmaceutical commercials on TV now, like the rest of the drugs that they sell.
Yeah.
Narcan. I mean, one of the things is you got to watch out though, because right now the state is supplying it. Okay, as long as you get trained, and you get trained by a health professional, you put it in the pharmacies.
Yeah, the cost.
I think the Board of Health will offer it for no cost too.
Yeah, right now there's a lot of grants. Like I know that Dr. Harvey, I believe, gets it through actually the AIDS Institute. Mm-hmm. Received a federal grant. That's been funding a large number of, since the ones that he's been doing in partnership with other legislators and awareness, I believe that's where those Narcan kits have come from. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of different pools in which people are, because we provide them to our county first responders, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
So I think there's a bunch of different pools in which groups and...
I would encourage you to have a training, though. First of all, it's good PR within your community, and more and more people. Because right now, in the last year, we must have had 7 of these already, funded by legislators. So think about if we didn't have them, then people wouldn't have the kids.
That doesn't save a life. So we ended up having 2 in Woodstock because so many people showed up to the first one. They worked with family to do the second one.
Yeah. We had like, I think, 80.
Yeah.
Focus. Yeah, we gave out 80 kids.
Johnson.
There's someone who's just about to do one, too.
Maybe that's
the one I'm thinking of. No, I think TJ wants to have one.
Yeah, TJ's having one in Allenville. That's what I saw.
Yeah.
And you
just have one, right?
What's that?
Didn't you just have one?
I didn't have Ron did over in...
Ron's got a big turnout, I heard.
Yeah, over in Rochester. Motion adjourned.
Yes, sir.
Second.
Thank you.
No hard feelings.
Never anymore,
all right?
Nothing.